The reading today is Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, on page 1001. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there won't be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these few minutes in the middle of a busy day to listen to you as you speak through your word. Please give us minds to understand, give us ears to hear, and please give us hearts to obey. And we pray this for your glory. Amen. Some years ago, I bought a book called The Paras Ultimate Fitness, and it details the 16-week training program used by the parachute regiment to turn the average civvy into a lean, mean fighting machine. By 4 weeks into the program, I had people coming up to me saying things like, "Golly, you look gaunt. Are you all right?" And so I decided it might be best to remain a civvy after all. But the one thing that stuck with me and remained with me from the book was the motto of the parachute regiment, which is Utrinque Paratus, which apparently means ready for anything. Now, leaving fitness aside, it's the sort of motto that many of us would, I guess, aspire to. We aim to be, and we might like to think that we are, ready for anything that comes our way. Your typical wharf worker is highly competent, well organised, on top of things, ready for every challenge. But are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? That is the challenge posed to us by the Bible passage for today, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? It's a black and white passage which divides us into two groups of people, the wise who are ready and the fools who are not. So someone may be a card-carrying member of Mensa with an IQ of 180, but if they're not ready for Christ's return, in God's sight, they are a fool. So it's a passage that doesn't pull its punches. At the beginning of chapter 24, in chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Chapters 24 and 25 contain Jesus' answer. It's a lengthy reply, which finishes with him telling three parables, three stories illustrating spiritual truths, recorded in chapter 25. The first of them is known as the parable of the 10 virgins. It's a tale about a wedding, and it begins like this, Matthew 25, verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise." Now, I've been to 5 weddings this year so far, and not one of them featured 10 virgins with lamps. So what's going on here? We've got to remember that this story is set in first century Jewish culture, and they did their weddings a bit differently then. It appears that this wedding in the story involved a torchlit procession to the wedding reception. Now, actually, when we got married in Sweden, we did have a torchlit procession in the dark through the snow to the reception. But that's another story. These 10 virgins were, I suppose, the equivalent of bridesmaids, but their job was to accompany the groom rather than the bride. In the snapshot here in the story, they're waiting for the groom to arrive so they can process with him, carrying their lamps of oil to the marriage feast. So it's a story about a wedding, but ultimately it is a story about the return of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, we know that from the context of chapter 24. We know it from the opening verse in 25 verse 1, which says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this." The kingdom of heaven would come at Christ's return. And we know it because Jesus elsewhere refers to himself as the bridegroom. Well, what then do we learn about the return of Christ from this tale? There are 3 things. Firstly, the return of Christ is unknown. That is to say, we don't know when it will happen. So we read in verse 5, "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" The bridesmaids don't know when the groom is going to arrive. They haven't been given a time, and so they fall asleep on the job. And when the cry goes up that he's come, they're caught by surprise. The parallel with the return of Christ is made explicit in the final verse, where Jesus applies the main point of the story, saying this. Verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." We need to be ready because we don't know when Jesus is going to return. In the previous chapter, Jesus has made that very point repeatedly. So Matthew 24, verse 36 says, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows." Verse 42, "Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Verse 44, "Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In his teaching, Jesus said that he would die for our forgiveness. 3 days later, he would be raised from death to life and would go back to heaven from where he had come. But he promised his disciples that one day he would return to our world. That day would bring the end of history, the final judgment, and eternity in heaven or hell. The warning here is that we do not know when he will return, so we need to be ready all the time. Earlier this year, I got out my Filofax, which is a paper-based diary, which used to be popular, and I marked August the 5th with the ominous words, "due date." The birth of our third child, it didn't take us by surprise. We knew that, give or take a few weeks of that date, there was going to be an arrival, and it would change our lives. And so we could make sure that we were ready in time, buying a crib, stocking up on nappies, and getting as much sleep as possible. But the return of Christ is different. You can't put a date in your diary. It's just going to happen. Now, some of you I know are preparing for professional exams. You've got the exam date in your diary, which means that you can just block out the week before and do some serious cramming. But when Christ will return is unknown. Could be in 100 years' time. It could be tonight. Nobody knows. So we need to be ready all of the time. We can't just say that we'll take some time off the month before it happens to get ourselves ready. And that it's unknown means that it will be sudden. Just as the groom suddenly appears in verse 6 in the middle of the night, it won't be a gradual thing which unfolds over the course of several weeks. His return will be as sudden as a tsunami hitting the shoreline with no early warning system in place, as sudden as a heart attack which strikes someone down in the prime of their life. When Christ returns, I wonder what you will be doing. You may be at your desk, you may be on the tube going home, perhaps in bed asleep, in a restaurant, watching sports night. We need to be ready. As part of a language degree, I spent a year in France, in Le Mans. And one evening I remember I was sitting at my desk in my flat, looking out over the town. And suddenly everything went black. All the lights in the town went out, the street lights, the house lights, plunged into darkness. For a moment, I really did think this was it. It was the return of Christ. And it was a sickening feeling, because I wasn't at all sure at the time that I was ready. Well, thankfully, it was just a power cut, but for me, it was a shot across the bows that I needed to sort my life out. God knows when it will happen. We don't. For all we know, the date in his diary may well be September the 20th, 2006. Would you be ready if Christ returned this evening? Secondly, the return of Christ is delayed. Verse 2 says, "Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps." These first century oil lamps, they would have been only able to hold a small amount of oil. Each of the wise women took along a refill container, but the foolish didn't bother. That decision proves very significant in the light of what happens next. Verse 5. "As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there won't be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. What proves critical here is the delay of the bridegroom. Makes for a change, doesn't it? The groom being late, usually it's the bride. Last wedding I went to this summer, the bride finally sauntered in half an hour late. But on this occasion, it's the groom who's delayed. And that is what seals the fate of the foolish women. It's because he's delayed in coming that the foolish women run out of oil. They hadn't reckoned with a delayed arrival, and so they weren't ready when he did come. We don't know when Jesus will return, but we are warned to expect a delay. His coming will be sudden when it does happen, but Jesus warned it would not be immediate. We're told elsewhere that the reason for this delay is God's mercy. It's so that more people can hear the gospel and be saved. But it's the delay that will also result in many people not being ready. So 2 Peter 3 verse 4, for example, tells us that in the last days, scoffers will come who will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? All things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." And so we may be tempted to think it's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus left for heaven, promising he would return. If it hasn't happened by now, well, perhaps it's never going to happen. Why should today be any different? Such people are like the foolish women in the story who didn't reckon with the delay and so were caught out. For others, the delay in Christ's coming, it doesn't mean they stop believing it, that it will happen, but they just forget about it and they stop living in the light of it. I'm sure we can all relate to the all too familiar scene from school days, the double geography lesson. The teacher sets the class work to get on with. He says he'll be gone for a while to attend to some other business, but he will come back and he expects no nonsense. So off he goes. For the first 5 minutes, it's heads down and pages are turned. After 15 minutes, one or two are becoming a little restless. After 20 minutes, the back row boys are responsible for guffaws of laughter and the flicking of the ears of the unfortunates in the row in front of them. After 25 minutes, half the class are wandering around the room. And by the half-hour stage, a cricket match is in full swing. And amazingly, even you have thrown your lot in with them. And you find yourself halfway through your over of medium pace, right arm round the waste paper basket, when simultaneously the door flies open, everyone goes quiet, you scream, "How's that?" and the teacher says, "Out, get out, go on, get out and wait in the corridor." You see, in the teacher's absence, things are okay for the first 5 minutes, but after 30 minutes, people tend to just forget and they do their own thing. Now, if you'd asked the kids, they wouldn't have denied that the teacher was going to come back. But after a while, it just doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to be a pressing concern. And so they stop behaving as they should. Are you living in the light of Jesus' return? Or has the 2,000-year delay, has it left you just getting on with your own thing, living as if it's not going to happen? This story warns us that even at this very moment, the teacher may be right at the door with his hand on the handle. But why is being ready such a big deal anyway? That brings us to our final point. The return of Christ is final. The return of Christ is final. If you look at verse 10, it says, "And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" In the story, the foolish women, who hadn't reckoned with the delay, they find their lamps are going out. So they hot-footed off to the local 24/7 oil lamp shop to get a refill. But while they're away, the groom returns, the reception begins, and the door is shut. When they do eventually get there themselves, they find it's too late and there's no way in. And they're left pleading on the doorstep, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the door remains closed and the Lord says, "I do not know you." And so the return of Christ is final. Once he returns, if you're not ready, it is too late to do anything about it then. No second chances, no bargaining or negotiating on the door. Those not ready will be shut out of the kingdom of God for good. Now, perhaps you think that doesn't seem a big deal. I mean, after all, wedding receptions are good, they're fun, but being shut out of one is not the end of the world. But the kingdom of heaven will not just be for a day, it will be forever. And being shut out will be terrible. At the end of the next story in Matthew 25, verse 30, Jesus refers to the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Contrary to popular belief, heaven is where the party is. It's not in hell. Just imagine being out on the streets at night. You're homeless, you're alone, you're lonely, you're cold, you're wet, you're hungry. And you walk past a house and inside you hear laughter. You see people in the warmth and the light who are enjoying good food and fun and friendship. Imagine the sense of regret, the sense of loss, if that could have been you, but you missed out on it. And now the door is shut on you forever. The return of Christ is final, and to be shut out will be terrible. So we need to be ready. I remember once going to the airport to catch a flight, getting to the desk and being told, "I'm sorry, sir, but you've missed the flight." Seems crazy now, but at the time I said, "Well, that's ridiculous. I can see the plane through the window behind you." "I'm sorry, sir, but the gate is closed." "Well," I said, "I'd be very quick if you just opened the gate a little bit," but she shook her head. I thought, time to play my trump card. "I'm travelling on a BA staff ticket." "Well," she said, "you should know that closed means closed." And that was that. Now, in the end, it wasn't a big deal. I just had to wait for the next flight. But imagine if that was the last flight home, the last flight ever. And you were stuck forever in some desperate far-off place with no way back home. Imagine if you're on the moon and you missed the last flight back, as pictured in one of those Larsen cartoons. If you've seen it, you've got the spaceship heading off as the astronaut on the lunar surface is left and finds a note saying, "Sorry, we did wait, but there was no sign of you." Christ's return is unknown, it is delayed, and is final. So Jesus warns we need to be ready all the time. Each of us needs to be ready. In the story in verses 8 and 9, when the groom arrived, the foolish couldn't borrow oil off the wise. And it's making the point that being ready is a personal thing. So the fact that your spouse is ready or others you hang out with are ready, that will be of no use to you when Christ returns, if you yourself are not ready. Just as when this evening, as you return home on the train, when the ticket inspector comes down the train, it doesn't cut much ice to say, "Well, no, I haven't got a ticket, but the person next to me has. Won't that do?" If you're someone here today who's exploring the Christian claims, this story should inject a sense of urgency. Given what is at stake, it would be foolish if finding out more about Jesus was not at the very top of your list of priorities. We've got a new Just Looking course beginning this Friday lunchtime. Why not sign up for it? But if you are a Christian already, here's the shock. Here's the big surprise. This story is a warning in the first place to the church. It's a warning to those who profess Christian faith. Notice that all the 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom. They were expecting him. So this is not a picture of the world. It is a picture of the church. The warning Jesus gives to his disciples here is that when Christ returns, many of those who call themselves God's people will be exposed. They'll be exposed as fools who were not ready. It'll come as a massive shock to them. They'll plead at the door of the kingdom saying, "Lord, let us in." But they'll hear these chilling words from Jesus, "I do not know you." Will you be found ready when Christ returns? The question left begging is, of course, what does it mean to be ready? How can I get ready? What does it mean to have enough oil with you in the terms of the story? Well, the story is not an allegory in which each item has hidden meaning. We've no indication, for example, that the oil represents something, that the Holy Spirit or whatever. This story simply does not tell us how we are to be ready. The answer to that comes in the next two stories that Jesus tells. So do come back next week. But for now, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this warning about the need to be ready for the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please may we be those who are found ready when he does come back. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.